We've spent a little bit of time looking at the Christmas story, kind of tracking it from 700 years before to birth announcements to the moment when Jesus was born. And this evening, I want to just take a few minutes to let us focus and think about the wise men and their response to Jesus' birth. And also to think about Herod, who was the king at the time. And they meet each other because this star has arisen in the east, and it led these men to Jerusalem. And this story is found in Matthew, and this was Matthew the tax collector. He had discovered about Jesus, and he had followed Jesus. And then later on, when Jesus had died and risen again, he decided, hey, I'm going to write down about what I found out about Jesus. And he writes this amazing book, a Gospel of Matthew, and I can recommend it to you thoroughly. But he says at the start of this kind of passage, he says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. And we need to stop there, because we read this 2,000 years later, and what would have happened was there would have been a warning. What would have happened to those who have read this first time, they would have immediately, things would have come to their mind about who Herod was. And you know, when you go to the pantomime, often you know more than the main character does, doesn't it? Because you need to boo when the bad guy comes on stage, don't you? You have to boo. I saw these, they're quite cool, aren't they? You can do them either way, depending how you want to use them. I don't know, anyone got one of these? No? Any of those who love a pantomime might get one before they go next time. But there's a moment, and it happens in TV series. You know more than the character, and it leads you to think, what are you doing? Why can't you see how evil that person is? And that's what happens. And when we read this, we need to know Herod is the bad guy. Okay? He was a terrible man. And this is how Matthew's readers would have felt when they first heard King Herod's name mentioned. He was actually an imposter. He was crowned by the Romans, not by the Jews. And he wasn't a true Jew. He was insecure, paranoid, and self-centered. The Jewish historian Josephus records many instances where he brutally eliminated threats to his throne. Children, close your ears. He murdered his brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, his favourite wife, and his eldest three sons. So when we hear that name Herod, alarm bells should ring in our heads. So when the wise men arrive from the east, they come to Jerusalem and they ask, where is the newborn king? And we think, oh no, why did you go there? Why did you go to Herod? Why ask that question to Herod? And the wise men, the magi, they came from probably Arabia. They came all the way from there. And they probably didn't know much about Herod. And they probably presumed that the newborn king would be his son. So they arrive. It's good news, we've arrived. And Herod is thinking, what on earth is going on? And these magi used astrology, amongst other things, to understand what was happening in the world. These are strange people to come to the birth of the Messiah. In Deuteronomy 18, it clearly forbids the use of magical arts, omens, divination, mediums to seek knowledge. And yet in this moment, God is drawing these people from the east to come and encounter his son. And these are in many ways unlikely people to be called by God. But God brings them from another nation to reveal to them his newborn son. And these wise men make room for God to work in their lives. They follow the star. They walked many miles to discover who this newborn king was. And when they ask their question in Jerusalem, it says, when Herod heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine hearing this news? This terrible king who's very brutal. Suddenly there's a newborn king arrived. Who knows what this volatile king will do in response to such news? So what happens is those, his wise advisors, they start getting through the scrolls and the books to try and discover what is this newborn king? What's going on? And Herod sort of sends them off. Go find out where's this Messiah supposed to be born. And they discovered that the birthplace of the Messiah, which means Christ, was in Bethlehem. And that was prophesied in Micah, and we heard that earlier, 700 years beforehand. So Herod secretly gathers the wise men to himself. And he questions them. And it's in this moment that you can imagine the evil schemes he's planning. But the wise men are unaware, and we're reading this and we're thinking, oh no. And Herod has no space for this child, and he can't even be bothered to go and investigate for himself. He sends them and he says, go and search diligently for the child. And when you've found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Off they go. After listening to the king, they go on their way. And we're told that the star then leads them to the place where Jesus has been born. These wise men who have made space to travel many miles gather up their gifts and come to meet the king. Now this must have been a bit of a surprise for Mary. You know, she was going about her normal day and suddenly these strange looking men arrive and fall down and worship her son. And they open these wonderful gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Mary knew her child was special. We heard what the angel said to her. She knew that this was the Son of God. But what a surprise when this party arrives. And this was clearly a sign of what God was going to do through Jesus. What had been promised long ago in Isaiah, that people would come and find salvation in him. People from all nations of the world. Would come and find salvation and good news in Jesus Christ. And the passage finishes by just telling us that the wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Herod, in one sense, shows the worst of sinful humanity. He shows self-centeredness, he shows hatred, he shows destruction. And he had no room for Jesus. He had no space in a world where the king was not him. He wanted to be in control, but ultimately he wasn't in control. And we contrast that with the wise men who, through their strange ways, discovered this newborn king and made room in their life to discover more about him. And this evening I want to invite you to take that journey in making room to discover more about Jesus. Whatever the reason for you coming here tonight, God wants to meet with you. Will you make space for him? That's the question. Will you make space for him? We have a number of booklets that you can take as you consider these things. If this is you, you think, okay, I'm interested, but I don't really want to talk to anyone. Grab one of these. They're called Why Jesus. They're very short, very easy booklets, very accessible. You can have a look at that. But I want to encourage you, you can do that. But also, we run an Alpha course. We run Alpha courses in this church. I think we've run 4 this year. And they are an excellent way at looking at the Christian faith, of looking at Jesus, at what he claimed, and to discover for yourself, to consider whether this might be true. If it is true, it is the best news going. It's better than your Christmas pudding or whatever you're looking forward to on Christmas Day. It is the best news going. But we would love to help you look into this for yourself. You watch a short video and then have opportunity to ask your questions. It is very much about you. You can ask a number of people in this room who have done Alpha and enjoyed it. There is no pressure from us. This is about you and your journey. But we would love to help you if this is something that you are interested in. So the question is, will you make room this Christmas to start or continue a journey in discovering more about Jesus? He came to die for the sins of the world. That's why he came. He came to bring good news to all of us. And that is why we celebrate this season. That is why we celebrate this time, because God became like us to show us what he's like, and to rescue us and to save us from our sinful destruction.